Come on, someone lift their hands and worship him this morning. Someone lift their hands and just worship him. Worship him for no reason this morning. Come on, someone lift their hands and just worship the one who's worthy of all honor and praise and adoration. We give you praise, Jesus. We give you praise. We thank you for blessed assurance. We thank you for an assurance in our hearts of things that are and things that will be. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, you can grab your chairs, and it's a joy to be with you today. And boy, we've been having an incredible weekend together. It's only been a couple of days, but it feels like we've been together for weeks just with what God's doing. And it's a joy to be with you again. And yeah, when did we start? It feels like we've been here a week, but it was just two nights together and God all over it. And it's incredible. And we're already talking about maybe doing something crazy later in the year. Yeah. Of sticking up a big tent and seeing Kingston saved and stuff like that. And Pastor Josh said, what do you think? I said, I'm in. You know, sometimes you travel around different places and you try to propagate or generate an atmosphere of revival. And sometimes you leave saying, well, we kind of got there. But there was something so natural about being here the last couple of nights that the spirit of revival was here waiting for us to engage with it. And it was just amazing the things that happened Friday night. And just last night, the sound, the roar of a people on understanding that their God was with them. It was incredible. And just a joy to be with you. And if you're watching online, a big welcome to you as well. We're so thankful that you're watching from your homes or wherever you're watching. And I'm not one for adverts or anything like that. I always think that Josh promotes me a lot better than I would. I hear about the person he introduces, and I'm looking around for him, like, is he here? And then I realize he's talking about me. And we've got a number of books over there. One of the things on my life that God has done is he's called me to be an author. And that's pretty miraculous, because I left school with no education. And I left school before they asked me to leave. And I just got in there before they could ban me. And, you know, one of the areas of my life was academic and grammar and those things. But, you know, God just steps into your wine press and he asks you to do the things that you can't start in the flesh. And so we got some books out there, and they always enable me to hang around and preach longer. And we got Breathe Again, which is if you're still trying to work out the life that you now have in Christ, get Breathe Again, and that'll be a blessing. And then we've got Soul Winner, which is the joy of my heart at this time, mobilizing the church to having a lifestyle of being soul winners. Imagine if this is what we've done in history, bringing people to a building. Imagine what happens when we release the building on them and the church on them. So Soul Winner, a number of you did boot camp, and that was a joy to do that from my living room into your homes a few months back. But get a copy of Soul Winner, let that aggravate and irritate. And it's just a joy to be with you. I'm heading home tonight. I've been in the States now for about a week. And boy, it's been nonstop. We were over in Pennsylvania seeing God do stuff there. Then I was in Jacksonville seeing my son and God breaking out there, Orlando. And then we got here Friday. And it feels like my truck is empty now apart from one box. And that's something that I believe God wants me to bring prophetically this morning for you and your journey. And I think when I'm done, then I'll be ready to pack my luggage, go home, kiss my wife, and have a cup of tea in England later today. But I want to bring something to you that's more prophetic than what it is a message. And I believe it's for those who are sitting here this morning that consider themselves a part of this ministry and those who are watching at home. And I want to say that we need to be understanding of the season that we're in, and not dressing according to a season that we've been in, but now dressing according to a season that we presently find ourselves, by the grace of God, located in. It's awesome when a church begins to understand two things, the season they're in and what God would have them to do. You know, when you read in the book of 1 Chronicles 12:32, it speaks of the sons of Issachar. And it says the sons of Issachar, that were a tribe of God, it said they knew the season that they were in. They knew what time they were in. But then also it says, and they knew how they were to respond, what they were to do. And I really believe that that's a now world for the church in the Western world, that we need to understand
the season that we've been in, but also the season we're in now. And when I'm praying, all I'm hearing for me and for you is one word, and the word is run, run. But then I hear the Holy Spirit carry on the statement and say, not just run, it's time to run your best lap yet. And I believe that that's a prophetic word, not just for a gathering of people, but also for every individual in this room. But we've all run previous laps. Some of them were good, some of them were bad. For me, some of them were embarrassing. But I'm not going to live in the laps that I've run. I'm going to live in the lap that is here right now, and the lap that God is asking me to run for him. We've truly come out of what has been spoken so correctly, an unprecedented time. Some call it lockdown, and for you guys, it wasn't long at all. For us in England, we were locked down from meeting for 18 months. God will do a lot of refining and pruning when suddenly the gathering is removed, but the church remains. You see, no one can shut the church down, because the church is not a building, it's not a meeting, it's a community of people called out of darkness into light that have one thing in common, that's Jesus Christ. So our meetings were stopped for a time, and boy, God did some pruning in that time. But it was amazing when that moment ended last Easter and they opened the doors and said that we could meet together again in the United Kingdom. There were kind of three types of person that I saw. There was one type of person that was missing in action. We still don't know what happened to them. We've got reward posters out around the city saying, has anyone seen these people? They've just disappeared off of the map. Then there was other people that went into an 18-month lockdown and came out no different to what they went in. It's like they pressed pause. The moment that the crowd was removed and it was about the audience of one, something couldn't happen in their life in that dimension, and they went into pause, waiting for things to begin again. And that was sad, because I actually came out of that season more ferocious, more vision-filled, more closer to God than what I went in. But then you had people coming out and they had pressed into God during that time. They'd found a new place in God. They'd found something one-on-one with God. And those people are, I believe, the leaders for what we're going to do for the church next. But when I look at this moment, it was a very revealing time. But what we need to understand, we're not in that moment anymore. We're in a new moment, which I call a next moment. You know, behold, I do a new thing, is more often or not, behold, I'm doing the next thing. Because God is in control of everything. And we're in this season now, which I call next. And it feels a little bit like that moment with Joseph in a prison. Forgive me. Genesis 41. And Joseph is in a prison. And he's in a prison and he didn't do anything wrong. He was in a prison. You know the story, right? You've all seen the film and you've seen the stage play. And, you know, stage plays in Broadway were written about this. And, you know, in England, everybody knows about Joseph. You could be anywhere and you just begin to sing, I close my eyes. Pull back the curtains, and the whole congregation go, whoa, whoa, because it was a famous song about the story of Joseph. But there's this one moment in the storyline of Joseph where Joseph is incarcerated. He's in lockdown. He's experiencing a moment of lockdown, incarceration, imprisonment. He didn't do anything wrong. During that season, he was falsely accused. Have you ever been? I've been falsely accused, put in a prison, walking around saying, I didn't do what they said. That wasn't me. You're making that up. He'd been set up by a lady that was in frustration concerning her desires towards him, but he'd not actually done anything wrong. But he found himself in lockdown. He was in a moment of lockdown. But what's good about Joseph is his lockdown didn't change him, because when he was in his lockdown, he knew that that door would open, and he was getting his life ready for when that door would open. Now, it wasn't fun, and many around him were curling up in the corner of the room and going fetal, moaning, concerning, letting the lockdown affect them. But not Joseph. He was like a warrior in the corner of the cell doing spiritual press-ups, because he knew, I may be incarcerated, I may be in lockdown, but there's a moment coming when that door is going to open. And when it opens, I'm coming out of that door running. I'm not coming out of that door crawling. I believe this is a prophetic picture for the church in the Western world. The door is open. It's time to run. The door is open. It's time to run. So I see Joseph pacing around that prison cell. We have a glimpse into that lockdown, but he remained faithful to the spiritual gifts upon his life. You know the story of the cupbearer. Little did he know the part that man would play in his future. He didn't remember instantly, but at a perfect moment. But the baker, he wished he didn't ask for an interpretation. He would have liked to remain ignorant concerning what was going to happen. You get this glimpse of this man in a lockdown, in a moment of lockdown, but he's not like the other prisoners. Why? Because he knows there's a moment that door's going to open. Why was he so confident? Because God had given him a dream, and he hadn't seen the dream happen yet. God had given him a dream, and he hadn't seen that dream happen yet, which meant the moment he was in could not remain, because the dream meant he needed to be outside, not in a prison, but as a prime minister. And he knew God had given him a dream, and he hadn't seen the dream. So he didn't go into pause in lockdown. He began to get fit. He was in the corner, 1, 2, 3, 4, getting, exercising his spiritual gifts, pacing around, looking at that door. You're going to open. I don't know when, but you're going to open. And when you open, I'm ready for you. When you open, I'm going to come out, you know, not like the non-saved version of a bat out of hell, but like a dove out of heaven. I'm coming through that door. I'm coming through that door. You're going to hear the roar of a heavenly Harley, and I'm coming through that door. And every day he stopped looking at the door. It's going to open. It has to open, because I have a dream that's not yet been fulfilled. There's a race for me to run that I've not run yet. I've run laps in my past, but my best lap is here right now. I will not be distracted. I'm in training for the lap that God is going to bring into moments. And then you see that incredible moment of divine things coming together. You've got the ruler of the nation who's dreaming dreams and he can't understand them. The men he put around him can't understand them. And then all of a sudden, when Joseph had thought, thank you for forgetting me, a man was in position to say, I know a man who can help you. Where is he? He's presently in lockdown. And when the leader of the nation heard about it, you read about this in Genesis 41, verse 14. The leader said, send for him. Send for him. Do you know what Joseph was doing? He was walking around. I kind of feel that door's about to open. Something inside of me says, that door, I'm going to hear that door open soon. There was prisoners near him going, mama, mama, who had quit, fetal in the corner. Others went in fit, but were now fat because they weren't going to race any, but not Joseph. I know that door is going to open. And when it opens, I'm coming out running. This is what I was doing in lockdown. I was like, you could try and keep it shut, but there's a call on my life for a nation. There's a call on my life for revival. There's a call. That door is going to open. And when it does, Andy Elms is going to come ripping out. Like a dove out of heaven, I'll be there when the morning comes. And I was looking at, maybe we need to redeem that, right? Maybe we would need to redeem that. And so Joseph is there one day, and then he heard it. Click. Click. And he looked up. The door is opening. Joseph, I'm here. You got any belongings? Don't worry about my belongings. Is it time? He wants to see you. He didn't say, I just need to pray. Been a bad lockdown. I'm ready for this. I've been through the fire of incarceration. It burnt off the last bits that couldn't come with me in this next lap. I'm more prime and more fit than I've ever been in my life. I'm ready. And the door opens, and the next moments, it's like crazy. It says, he went, he washed, prepared himself, stood before the leader of a nation. This is the same day, the same hours. And suddenly interprets the man's dream, sharp and fresh in his spiritual gifts. Suddenly the leader of the nation takes him in one moment from being a prisoner who's in lockdown to being second in charge of a nation only to him. Do we understand the moments that we're standing in? But these aren't moments for us to come out of the prison confused or limping. It's time to run. King's Fire, it's time to run. It's time to run. Lockdown's over. Get your prison clothes off. Get your running shoes on. Get your slippers off. That's so last season. So last season. You don't wear those clothes in this season. It's time to run. It's time to run. It's time to run. The door isn't going to open. The door is open, but so much of the church is asleep in the prison cell of lockdown. Still, this is no. This isn't how it is anymore. There's a race to be run. It's time to run. Not just run. Run your best lap yet. Forgetting what lays behind. It's time to reach forward. We've all blown it. We've all got it wrong. We've all had the odd casual year when it came to God. But what are you going to do now? There's a new late lap. There's a new race. And I believe our response is, I'm going to run my best lap yet for you, Jesus. Now, this is relevant, I believe, prophetically for you as a church, whether you're here or you're watching online, but also for you as individuals. But God's not just saying a we will run our best lap. He's saying you will. Poor Gerald, this is going to be your best lap yet. This is going to be your best lap yet. You had to, this one. Your name, I'm putting your name to that. He's pointing at you individually as well. Now, I'm just reminded of those lovely words in Hebrews 12, verse 1, when it speaks of those who took their lap seriously before us. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off now everything that hinders and the sin that can so easily entangle. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him ran his race. He endured his cross, scorning its shame for your benefit. He's now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can you hear what's being said there? It speaks of the saints that went before us. They ran their race, and we're blessed because they did. It speaks of the risen Christ. He ran his race, and we're blessed because he did. We have an obligation and a responsibility to come out of the stands for this moment that we find ourselves in. Locate ourselves on a racetrack as a group and as individuals with a heart that cries, I'm going to run my best lap yet. I'm going to run this year. 2022 is a year where I run. I'm no longer incarcerated. I'm no longer locked down. It's time for me to run, not just run, run my best lap yet. On December, the end of December, I'm going to look back and say, thank you, God. That was my best lap yet. I'm going to look back on what my church has done in the 12 months and say, that was our best lap yet. Come on, God's on the move. Let him inspire faith within you to believe for this moment that you're in. Now, we need to be running according to what God wants us to be doing. Notice in Hebrews 12, it says that we run the race marked out for us. Don't run another man's race. You'll be weary if you're trying to run the race that society is trying to make you think you should run. Meanwhile, there's a race marked, Hebrews says, there's a race marked out for us. What's the markings of the track? Preach the gospel to those who haven't heard it. Make disciples of those who have, and begin to release healing and miracles into every broken, oppressed person that you can find. This year isn't about trendy church vision. It's about original church mission. It's about us returning to being that blueprint church. I wrote a book on that if you want to know more about that. The marked out track for the church this year as it runs its best race, souls saved. Not in meetings alone, us leading people to Christ in our daily lives like never before. Disciples made, people helping others to grow. And the church suddenly realizing that the risen Jesus Christ now lives in them. And then when they pray for a sick people get healed and oppressions get broken. So this year, remember, this is a prophetic message for you, so it's not going to have a lot of the dynamics of a well-formed one. But it's a call for you to take your place on the track with King's Fire if this is your spiritual home. Get ready to give like you've never given. Serve like you've never served. Be on time like you've never been on time. Because you could be on the track, but if you turn up late, the race has started. Be there when it begins. But what I want to turn the focus on now is also the personal core that each of us have. Can I come down there? I just feel, yeah. The personal core that God is giving each of us. Bob, your personal core to run your race. Catch this in your heart if you can. I'm going to say it as passionately as I can. Because the things that motivate people to run their race for God are corrupt. Too many people are running because of earthly incentives. Oh, if you do this, the church will do that. If you do this, God will do that. And all these things are a replacement for something that the church has forgotten. It's called the winner's crown. We need to begin to preach the winner's crown again. Now, I'm not talking about the crown that belongs to him. I'm talking about the crown that he says belongs to you. If you'll run your race with the life he's given you the best you can. It's not like the robe of righteousness. The robe of righteousness, you do nothing to get it but believe. Because it's inherent in nature. But that's not true. The winner's crown is less... how could we put it, socialized or, you know, socialist. It's not something everyone gets. Now that offends people. It's something that people get who ran their race. The race that God gave them with the life they lived. How can I put this in a way that it'll annoy you for days after I've gone? Don't you know there's a crown to be won, man? Don't you realize there's a crown to be won by the life you live for Christ here? It's not a natural crown given by natural men for natural things achieved. It's a crown that waits in eternity. For those that weren't scared to give what they didn't want to give, do what they said they wouldn't do, put up with what they should have never. There's a crown, man. And for me, I've rediscovered that crown in my life, and it's become that which fuels my race. I discovered it at a funeral, or should I say a tribute service. I fell in love recently, well, about 8 years ago, with a dear friend. He was in his 70s, and that was a strange friendship. But he was a man that had lived for God, I want to say 60 years. He'd served God uncompromisingly, brought revival to England. His name was Colin Urquhart. He was a legend, and God gave me a friendship with this man. And last year, he passed away. And I was privileged to not just be mentored by this man, but also to be his friend. This 80-year-old man on his 80th birthday, this is one of the greatest accomplishments of my life. His son said to him, "Dad, we're going to put on an 80th birthday. If you understood Colin, that was something he didn't want. He wanted nothing. And the speech at his end of the 80th birthday was this, after everybody had spent 3 hours giving him tributes. If you were loved by me, it wasn't me. It was his love through me. If you receive, this was his closing speech at his birthday. He was a legend of a man. And I went to his tribute service and they read this verse over his life. And I thought, man, that's a fitting tribute. And this is the tribute I want someone to read over me when I'm not here anymore if Jesus tarries. It's the words of Paul himself. And they read this at this man's funeral. A man who'd lived and ran his race for 60 years, sacrificing, giving, turning up again, being falsely accused, but not quitting. You know these words, but listen to what Paul's saying. For I am already being poured out. This is 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, the winner's crown, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. But he hadn't finished speaking. And this was the bit that rocked me to the core of who I was. And not only me, but also to everyone who has also lived and longed for his appearing. I want to live a life where I'm living and longing for his appearing. Not a life where I'm waiting to die. I'm quite happy here. I've got things to do. But something within me that's living and longing for his appearing. Because I understand that there wasn't a crown for Paul. There's one for Andy Elms as well. But the Bible says is in store for me that Jesus Christ himself will give to me if I spend the rest of my days running my best lap for him. One day when I close my eyes in this life, Jesus will bring out of a storeroom crown, man. A crown. And I want to hear those words. Well done. I know it was tough, Andy, and there was stuff that came to knock you off the track, but you didn't let it. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Enter into my joy, my rest. And here's a crown to wear when you go in. I don't think any of us will wear a crown long. I think it's just something to throw at his feet. You know, the Queen of England, Queen Victoria, she was a bit of a messed up lady when it came to parenting and that. She didn't have it all together. But she made this one quote that I love so much as the monarch of the UK back in that time. She says, I long for the return of Jesus in my reign so I may cast my crown at his feet. She said, I long for the return of Jesus Christ during my reign, but I may take my crown that man gave me and cast it at his feet. You see, when the Bible's speaking of crowns, he's not speaking, there's two words used for crown. There's diadem, and that means the crown that belongs to him. No man wears that crown. But the word that Paul's using here, it's also used in Revelations, it's the word Stephanos. And the meaning of Stephanos, this crown that Paul's talking about, is the wreath or garland given as a prize to the victorious runner in a public game. Jesus has a crown for you, but you've got to run the race to get it. Like I said, people who are more socialist in their thinking hate these thoughts. They all think everybody's going to get a token. Well done, good and faithful servant. How can God do that? It's impossible for him to lie. He can't lie even to make you feel better for a moment. And I've had people say to me, I can't wait to hear those words, good and faithful servant. I said, when were you good and when were you faithful? And when did you serve? Because I missed it, so I don't know. Maybe you did it in secret. But are you kidding yourself? You're going to get a token word that you didn't earn. Listen, our salvation and our righteousness are inherent. We do nothing to gain or earn the position of being saved. But the crown that Jesus presents to you is for the race you ran for him. If you want to live for other crowns, like the crown of trendy because you fitted in with society, you're a fool. That crown will perish as quick as it's given because it's built on the fickleness of man. It says we don't run a race later on to get a crown that's given by a man in this life. And I don't know how I can keep saying this so that it will affect you long after I've gone. There's a crown, man! There's a crown! There's a crown for you to win that Jesus Christ will give to you in the life to come for the life that you lived for him here. That must be the motivation of the modern church. Not position or title or I do this and God does that. We need to have a winner's crown within us. There's a crown for us to win and there's a crown for you to win. We need to see that crown even beyond any momentary opposition we may be facing. Because when anyone runs, there's always a wall that you have to come through. You know, I think of others, like Hebrews said to us, the great crowd of witnesses that ran before us. Man, they had obstacles that they had to run through. Some of them had to let their life be taken in martyrdom. Oh, things have never been worse in... Grow up, read history, even not the Bible, read history. You know, I'm reminded of the church in the book of Revelations, the church Smyrna. Because again, I was drawn that they mention this crown, not diadem Stephanus. And the pastor of Smyrna, and you know, when you understand what was going on there, it's like kind of heartbreaking. But the pastor of Smyrna stood before his congregation with a message from the risen Christ. It's in red, if you've got a Bible with red bits. These weren't his words, they were the words of Christ. And basically, time doesn't allow, but use it as homework if you like. He stood before the church and said, listen, guys, they're going to come and take you because you're a follower of Christ. Not because you believed this, because you're a follower of Jesus. And he said, when they do, don't deny him for the 10 days they hold you. If you don't deny him, again, there's a crown that Jesus will give you. Let's open that up a little bit. In that moment, the emperor had proclaimed himself God. The church, the followers of Christ, were an enemy to him. So he even sent spies from among the Jews to capture those who were followers of Christ. And they would be taken for 10 days and tortured. Them, their children. They would torture the wife and kids before the person was tortured himself. And all they had to do was deny Jesus as Lord. But after 10 days, if they didn't deny Jesus, they weren't released. They were given an option. Either they went and were burnt at the stake, or they were thrown in the amphitheater as entertainment for the Romans. What a reward for not denying Jesus under torture for 10 days. But you know what? There were thousands of people that couldn't deny him because they knew that life was more about the moment we're in and that there was a winner's crown that was waiting for them. History also records that the pastor of that church in Smyrna, he was a son of John, a spiritual son of John. And it says, I believe within weeks, it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. They took the leader of this church and they imprisoned him for 10 days and tortured him. He couldn't deny Christ. And after 10 days, they decided they would burn him at the stake. But being a son of John, that made some problems. It was problematic. They couldn't get him to light. Remember John, they couldn't get the oil hot enough to kill him. Oh, there's something in sonship that we don't understand. They couldn't light him. They couldn't get him to catch light. So they ran him through with spears until he bled to death. But I want to tell you, he closed his eyes to something very horrific. But when he opened his eyes, Jesus was standing there, man, with a crown. Gave him a crown. And that crown made up for anything he'd experienced. Do we know that there's a race to be run? Do we know that there's a winner's crown that's been made for you and the assignment you've been given? I'm not running for Billy Graham's crown. Billy was true to his race and got the crown for the race he ran. I'm not running according to Catherine Coleman's crown. She was true, not scared to sacrifice for the race that she was given to run for Christ. I'm running for my crown. God, what do you want of Andy Elms? What do you want me to do with the breath in my body, the days left in the calendar that you've credited to me? God, I'm sorry for the times I skipped around the racetrack and didn't run. Sorry for the times I sat down, just sat there and couldn't be bothered. Sorry, God, I can't change any of the laps that have gone before me, but I can change this one. I'm going to run my best lap yet. Man, if January is anything to go by, it's going to be a stinker. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be incredible. Last night, it was so funny. I was dancing on the stage, just worshipping the God. And somebody came to me afterwards and said, it was so funny, as you were dancing with your hands up, your Apple Watch said, exercise completed. I haven't had a chance to exercise the last couple of days, but in one moment of extreme praise, I fulfilled all the circles on my Apple Watch. And it was more fun than running around the neighborhood, I can tell you that. There's an Apple Watch that's not from Apple that sits upon the wrist of your life. And the way that you get the circles completed is to keep running according to the rules of the race. I just want to finish with one verse, and actually I don't need to turn to it, I'll just reference it. It's in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 9, 24-7. It says, everyone that competes in a race does so with sobriety. They do so consciously. They don't run to win a race where you get a crown in this life that makes you feel good, but rather the crown that waits in the next. But it also says they don't approach it casually. They don't just run like we would say in England, a fairy. They run to win. They run to win. Now, the good news about this race is we all win. Everybody that runs win. But you've got to run to win. Not our race, your race. The race that God has given. Not Billy's race. Not Catherine. Your race. You've got to run to win your race. You've got to find out what God wants from you. And you've got to run that race. And if you do, there's a crown that waits for you, man, in the life to come that you'll wear for all eternity. Every crown that they can give me in this life, I'll wear for a mere moment of fame. But that crown, you can wear it for all eternity, or you can use it as something to throw at the feet of the one who's crowned with many crowns, Jesus Christ. And It says that we run, we beat our bodies into submission. We beat our soul. We say, come on, soul, get with the program. We've got a race to run here. Come on, soul, get in the program. I don't care if you don't want to go to church this morning. Get yourself where you need to be. Enough of your baby-like behavior. Come on, I don't want to pray. Get in there and pray, you spoiled little brat, and begin to get yourself fit. Well, I'm not feeling it. I care how you feel, you baby-like critter. You just begin to fast. Tell your flesh to shut up by starving it to death. Do what you need to do to get a run back in your life. But don't run for anything that anyone can give you in this life. There's a crown to be won, man. There's a crown to be run, to be won by the race you run as a church. And a race that you run as the man or woman that you sit alone to be. I don't know, I think I'm kind of done. Run your race. Run your race. Run your race. Get rid of distraction. Get rid of things that are distracting you. Get rid of sins that are holding you down. Get rid of things that won't last. Get ready to run. Get ready to run. Get ready to run. This church is going to run. This church is going to run. Oh, is that upsetting you? Then you don't want to live anywhere near me, because I'm going to begin to do things that I've never done before. When he says run, I run. When he says jump, I jump. When he says down, I sit. When he says, I want to run my best race. Not to get an award with Christian television. Not for the applause of man. But one day, I want that crown that's in store for me. Well, I'm getting mine by faith. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. No one can let you stay in that stupidity. That would be wrong. You've got to run. All of those who run and compete get the crown. Just close your eyes with me for a moment. Thank you for the winner's crown, Jesus. Thank you for the race that belongs to this church. Thank you, Lord, that people even now are coming out of the bleachers of complacency, coming out of the lockdown of can't be bothered, coming out of the incarceration of let someone else do it. I want to watch. Breaking the boundaries of preference of comfortable seated after active service or instead of active. Lord, let this church run its best race this year for your glory. But Lord, I pray for every man and woman that's stirred by this thought, forgetting what lays behind. May they reach forward for the best lap of their life that they've ever run. Not doing it for human reward or recognition, but because they caught a glimpse of something shining in the storeroom of heaven. Accidentally, they peeked through the door and saw a crown, and it had their name on it. And now they will live, give, serve, just run to get that crown. Nothing else matters in comparison. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity. I think 15 people came or returned their life to Christ last night. It was awesome. Young and old, it was awesome. Oh, that makes the evangelist in me leap. But maybe you're here today and you've never started a relationship with Jesus. Or maybe you got distracted. You were running a good race and something cut in on you, like promises of this world. Maybe you caught yourself in the own mirror and was impressed by what you saw and walked away from a track of God, but nothing you've experienced since you walked away has fulfilled you, like you know there's a fulfillment in. Come home. Come back to the track. God's got a plan for you. You'll never feel right until you run the race that he's given you to run. Don't matter where you've been. Don't matter what you've done. Come back to God today. Come back to God today with a genuine heart. We're going to pray this prayer together. Just ask everyone to join in. Thank you, Father, for giving Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for running your brutal race for me. You died on a cross, but I could have a new life. I take hold of that new life with both hands. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Today, my life becomes yours. Thank you for saving me, for forgiving my sins, for giving me a brand new day. Just my every eye's closed, every head's bowed. If you're here today and you've never prayed that prayer, or you've been away from God and you know that it's time to come home, you don't want to miss what's going to happen next. This is the best part of the series. And you say, that's me, I need to be bold, I need to be courageous, I need to be strong. I don't care anymore who's in the room with me, who's next to me. This is my decision for my Jesus. I prayed that prayer because I don't know him or I've been away from him, but today I'm coming home. When I count to three, I want you to lift your hand. I want you to be as bold as a man hanging on a cross for those he didn't even, you know, that didn't even love him. I want you to be bold and courageous when I count to three and lift your hand. You can do this at home. Those who are watching online, God sees your hand at home as well. He sees the responses you're making from wherever you are. One, two, three, right now, if that's you. Keep that hand up high. No looking around at others. This is your moment. I just want to let you know you're not alone. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. There's a lot of people making good with God today. There's two more. Come on, don't leave me at 28. I'm weirdly wired. Everything has to... There's 29 and there's 30. Thank you. I wouldn't have been able to go home if it wasn't even. It's just the way I'm wired. I'm weird. Father, let your spirit fall upon these people afresh. Let your spirit fall upon these people afresh. Let them cast off every distraction. Get back on the track and follow you as the lead. Father, I call destiny out of these people. I call purpose out of these people. I prophesy over you that this is your best lap yet. This is your best lap yet. This is the best lap yet. This year is going to be an amazing year. You're going to see yourself jumping hurdles you never thought you could jump. You're going to be leaping walls that you couldn't leap. Right now, everything resets. For those who are coming back to God today, it doesn't matter what you've done. This moment is reset. And God will not know you by anything that was before, but by this moment of Him. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Listen, if you've lifted your hands and maybe, I know a lot of people were just making business with God and saying, I need to be ready for this year. Forgive the garbage behind. But if you're here today and that was your first time, you need to talk to Pastor Josh or one of the team and say, help me to take my next steps. Even those who have been saved a lifetime that lifted their hands to come back to God, but you've never grown. Come to the leaders and say, I submit to the steps that you tell me to take. What class do you want me in? Who do you want me to walk with? Because the lines marked out for us, soul saved, people discipled, the sick healed, and the oppressed set free. I read Luke the other day and I saw it as God intended for me to read it today. When I first read it, it said the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, but God had anointed him to proclaim release and open doors. Forgive me if you think me arrogant. When I read it now, I say the Spirit of God is on me. The Spirit of God is on His church to preach the gospel, make disciples, set captives free, open prison doors, help the blind to see. This is our moment. History is drawing towards a close. Let's hear the crowd of witnesses in Hebrews 12 shouting over the balconies of eternity. Run! 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 One day you'll open your eyes and realize the race you were in. Run! 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 Run your best lap ever. God bless.
Woo! Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
So guess what next Sunday is? Besides January 30. Who knows? If my math is right, we had planned for, I think, we put it on the calendar because one person came forward and said they were just feeling, and since that time, I think six others came. And so, if my math is right, that's 36. Unless you counted. Did you count any hands twice, or did you get every, just, okay, so good. My eyes were closed. I was being obedient. Every head bowed, every eye closed. So I don't know. I'll trust your count. That means that means there's 36 folks. Because baptism is a little more, it is an outward show of what we believe inwardly, but baptism is also a moment in time, in real time, when the old man goes under the water and a new person emerges. So I'm thinking 36, man, next Sunday is going to be crazy. It's going to probably, well, it'll be warmer than the pond. The last time we were in the pond, and for those that went in, you know that was cold. This will be a little warmer than that, but it will be refreshing. But that's the next step.
Listen, I know this messes with people's theology, but it worked for me. Maybe you need to be baptized again, because the first time you didn't mean it or didn't understand what was at stake. And maybe you're sitting there saying, but I was baptized years ago. And you can do one of two things, and none of them are wrong. You can place faith in that first time, because all God needs is the ingredients in the bowl. You, repentance, water, that's fine. But for me, I can remember when I took my place on the racetrack and I meant it. I said, God, I just want to bury everything behind. I'm going to start this race. And it was like the ice bath that they put an athlete in. And I came out, and some Christians I've met, they need to go to the hill and go under the ice. They need to have a moment that they remember. So I think we've been far too polite. Turn the heat off. Let people know they're dying in that moment, you know? But I want to encourage you. Maybe some of you out of the 30 today and the 15 last night need to say, you know what? I can place faith in when it was pretty, but no, I'm in business. I'm getting in that water, and God's going to meet the faith as I follow through. I'm laying down pride of what people think. I'm laying down people's opinions. This is my race. This is my crown. If it starts in that baptismal tank, that's where it starts.
There you go. So, there's anyone that wants the extreme version? I do have a chainsaw that can cut through ice, so... That'd have to be after church, though, maybe like 1:30. You have to talk to me privately on that and probably sign a waiver or something like that before we do that. But, hey, to each his own.
This is just one of my many hobbies that I took up and lasted, didn't last long, was I did sub-aqua diving, you know, with a tank on the back. And one of the things that we did was there was a place in England that froze over like a lake. And we drilled a hole and we wore dry suits that day because we would have died if we were wearing neoprene. You know, we wore dry suits. And we all jumped in a hole, all right, in the ice, and went down to the bottom of this huge freshwater lake. And I can remember the feeling, and this is what I'm saying, I can remember the feeling when I came up, I couldn't find the hole. And I had enough air, so it wasn't like a movie from Hollywood, but I could see things up there, but I could no longer get through. Maybe that's a good picture for somebody that realizes there's a death that takes part in baptism, that you don't come out the person you were, but everything you don't need remains under the ice, but the new creation comes out. The good news is, obviously, I found the hole because I'm here. But, yeah. I've shared with you stories of ice diving and walking with lions. I don't know what more I can do, you know.
That's why there's a waiver to sign. Plus a rope. Probably would tie a rope to him. Just, you know, we don't have as much faith as you did. So we'll guarantee that you can get back through the ice. Oh, my goodness. I hope you feel refreshed. One of the best parts of knowing Andy's coming is I know there's a refreshment that just hits my spirit every time I've felt like he's poured into us for meetings on end. But there's a response that's required, and I'm just going to cordially and very gently ask you to be generous to our brother. We're not going to pass a bag around, but we have opportunities to give at the welcome desk. You can use a credit card or write a check or cash, whatever. But he comes here at his own expense. He buys his own tickets, and he stays in our basement, so that doesn't cost too much. But he eats a lot, though. He does eat a lot of food, but he's getting ready for a fast. February 1st, their church is fasting. Sorry to kill the mood, you know. Yeah. But what a beautiful heart. And we're already making some plans. We've got to time it just right. But in the summer sometime, I believe the Lord's calling us to just do a large tent up on the hill and make sure everybody's invited. And there will be another baptism there. And it'd be great to just have 5 or 6 people at a time, just different people baptizing people. I see a little bit by faith. I see a little bit. I think it's vision. But I just love when God surprises us. And there's a move of his spirit that's coming. It's already started. It's not coming in that sense. We're already off the runway even, I think. We're just gaining altitude. And God's going to use simple hearts, humble hearts, to just touch people's lives in a way that causes them to want to be a part of who we are and the God that we know and serve. And so this is, it's exciting. But Pastor Andy will be a part of that. As soon as we mentioned the idea of doing some meetings and getting the full band and just outside, whatever it is, it'll be, but it's going to be epic. And let's just stand together. Let's just stretch. I just feel like I'd like to remind you, you know, just buy a book, be extra generous, get back in the Word, spend that personal time with the Lord. There's so much that's been shared in the past few meetings. I hope for those that are here that maybe if someone wasn't there and you find that out, just debrief them. Just share some of what God spoke to you about. These are all keys to us getting to the next place the Lord has for us. And do be generous. We really want to bless Pastor Andy as he goes. He's got huge vision, not just for things here in America, but for the home churches that he oversees in England. They're believing God for property and for a building and just a whole bunch of stuff that I think is really key for them to be able to stand with what's in front of all of us. And Father, we thank you for this gift that you sent among us. We know that you give gifts to people, and they are the offices of men like Andy that come and travel a distance to bring your word, the Rhema word that you are speaking to our hearts now, has come to us, and we want to receive that, we want to acknowledge that, and we ask you right now, Holy Spirit, would you hover over those seeds that were planted? Would you guard over those moments in our hearts as we've experienced your touch over these past few days? And that those places that you've touched and changed and you've dealt with, that there would be a protection that only you can provide, Holy Spirit. That you would not allow any care of life, any bird of the air to come and to take these seeds away. But they would begin to germinate and sprout and to grow. And Father, we would truly grow into that team. There's one thing to run a race by yourself, but Lord, we're running this as a team. We're running it as one body, your church. We want to see this church as one person on the track of the Hudson Valley, that we are going to do what our race is to do. It's different than other churches. It's different than other pockets of believers. But Lord, what we've been called to do, we want to do it to your glory and to the perfect plan you've set in place. Lord, give us fresh vision and understanding how to do that. And we just thank you that you're going to continue to guide every step that we take. Lord, we know that it's your heart to reach the harvest. It's your desire that no man would perish, but that all would come to know you. And so we align ourselves now with that. As we go from this place, Lord, let there be a fresh confidence that we have in you. That the message you've given us to declare, it's your message. We're just repeating your message to this world that you have given Jesus, desiring that none would perish, but that all would come to know you and receive everlasting life. Father, we thank you for your blessing on our lives. We thank you for just a generous spirit that we're just going to pour out now and bless this minister of your gospel that's come to us for your glory and for the extension of your kingdom here, but around the world as well. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Why don't we just clap and just, I don't know. It's just, I really, somehow I thought we were going to go out with some crazy for Jesus.